Tonight, if you will, go ahead and turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Back several months ago, Pastor Jimmy asked me if I would like to speak tonight, and I told him absolutely. But since then, I have been praying and asking the Lord what He would want me to share tonight, and I come up to Indiana with nothing. Because I had no idea, and it wasn't till I think Monday that I figured out what I was going to speak on tonight. And you will understand it in just a moment. Whenever we live our life and as we go about life, so often we lose focus. We were talking about this the other day. You know, we can be on fire. Our eyes can be set on Christ and pressing forward and pushing forward and seeking Him. And all of a sudden, because of life and all the things in life, we can find ourselves off track and no longer focused on Him. But God calls us each to serve. He calls us each to give of ourselves. And in our passage tonight, He calls Ezekiel not only to serve Him and to be obedient to Him, but He calls him to be a watchman for His people. And I want to talk to you tonight about being a watchman and what that means, not only for Ezekiel, because he was speaking to Ezekiel over the house of Israel, but this was the Old Testament, right? This was a long time ago, thousands of years ago. Surely, I mean, we have the New Testament that we're to follow. But everything in the Old Testament was a foreshadow of how God was setting things in the New Testament for us to live by. And I want to throw this out there. I want you to understand that after tonight, when we finish in a few moments, that you are the new generation of watchmen. And I want you to also understand, when we read the passage in just a few moments, that what God tells Ezekiel, the depth of what He speaks to Ezekiel, falls upon our shoulders as servants of Christ and as followers. So not only was He speaking to him, but through His Word He speaks to us today. But before we begin reading the passage tonight, let us pause for a moment and go to Him. Our Father, we come to You and we come to You humbly. But Father, we come to You confident, knowing that You are the living God. We come to You knowing that You hear us. We come to You knowing that You love us and You desire to give us our needs. We come to You knowing, God, that it is Your desire for us to come into salvation, for You to give us Your kingdom. And Father, because of Your goodness and Your holiness and Your righteousness, You have filled us with Your Spirit to empower us to live for You, to bring honor to Your name. And that is why we're here tonight, Lord. We're here to worship. We're here to learn. We're here to give and to receive. And Father, in these next few moments, I ask You that every ear be attentive to Your Word. Father, I ask that every heart and every mind would be open to receive what it is that You have for each individual. Because, Father, we find ourselves in completely different walks of life. We find ourselves dealing with different situations, but we find ourselves in the same battle. So, Father, I ask that You give us strength, that You encourage our hearts and our spirits to live and to serve You with all that we are. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, well, I'm going to begin and I'm going to do my best to not to stutter, because from time to time I have that problem. But I'm going to read the first 20 verses of Ezekiel 33. It says in verse 1, "The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, speak to your people and tell them, suppose I bring the sword against a land And the people of that land select a man from among them, appointing them as their watchman. And he sees the sword coming against the land and blows his trumpet to warn the people. Then if anyone hears the sound of the trumpet but ignores the warning, and the sword comes and takes him away, his blood will be on his own head. Since he heard the sound of the trumpet but ignored the warning, his blood is on his own hands. If he had taken warning, he would have saved his life. However, if the watchman sees the sword coming but doesn't blow the trumpet so that the people aren't warned, and the sword comes and takes away their lives, then they have been taken away because of their iniquity. But I will hold the watchman accountable for their blood. As for you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. When you hear a word from my mouth, give them a warning from me. If I say to the wicked, wicked one, you will surely die, but you do not speak out to warn him about his way, that wicked person will die for his iniquity, yet I will hold you responsible for his blood. But if you warn a wicked person to turn from his way, and he doesn't turn from it, he will die for his iniquity, but you will have saved your life. Now as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, you have said this, our transgressions and our sins are heavy on us, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we survive? Tell them, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that the wicked person should turn from his way and live. Repent, repent of your evil ways. Why will you die, house of Israel? Now, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous person will not save him on the day of his transgressions, neither will the wickedness of the wicked person cause him to stumble on the day he turns from his wickedness. The righteous person won't be able to survive by his righteousness on the day he sins. When I tell the righteous person that he will surely live, but he trusts in his righteousness and commits iniquity, then none of his righteousness will be remembered. And he will die because of the iniquity he has committed. So when I tell the wicked person, you will surely die, but he repents of his sins and does what is just and right, he returns the collateral, makes restitution for what he has stolen, and walks in the statutes of life without practicing iniquity, he will certainly live and he will not die. None of his sins he committed will be held against him. He has done what is just and right, and he will certainly live. But your people say, the Lord's way isn't fair, even though it is their own way that isn't fair. When a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, he will die on account of this. But when a wicked person turns from his wickedness and does what is just and right, he will live because of this. Yet you say, the Lord's way isn't fair. I will judge each of you according to his ways, house of Israel. As we stop right there, as I read this, and hopefully you read along with me, and we began to hear these words of the Lord as he spoke to Ezekiel and spoke through Ezekiel, and as he was using Ezekiel speaking to the people, he told Ezekiel something that should be an encouragement to us all. First of all, that there is forgiveness for sins. Because he said, when I say to the wicked person when I call out his wickedness and that wicked person sees that wickedness and he repents of it, that there is forgiveness there. But I want you to also see the warning that is also there, that he spoke to the one who called himself righteous. He said that righteousness was only good as long as he didn't sin. As long as there was no iniquity. As long as there was no transgressions. Because as we look here, this is the Old Testament. This was the time that they went by the old law and the sacrifices and the sacrificial system there. They followed this. And this is what for them brought their righteousness, as long as they followed this. But I also want you to see that many of them, even then, by following the law, The sacrificial system, following the commandments that God sent down through godly men. Many of them found themselves righteous because they followed the law in their own eyes. And this is who he's talking about. But there were others who were righteous in God's eyes because they trusted him. They didn't trust in the sacrificial system. They didn't trust in the laws, but they trusted in God. And real quickly, I'm going to say this. And today we have, our churches are full of people who find themselves righteous in their own eyes because they come to church, because they serve in the church, because they're Sunday school teachers, deacons, pastors, worship leaders. They find themselves righteous because they have a gift that others don't have. He says that righteousness does you no good to the moment that you sin. Is there anyone in here without sin tonight? There is no righteousness of your own that will save you. So let us begin. Ezekiel, so God is speaking to Ezekiel, and he appoints Ezekiel as a watchman to watch over a city. And he begins to give him an illustration to help him and to help us understand what he's about to deliver, what he's about to speak into Ezekiel's life. And he says, it's like a watchman is a man that a city chooses. And they choose this man. They say, look, you set up on the walls that keep us safe. When you see the enemy coming to attack, you blow the horn. You begin to call out to warn us so that we can be ready when he gets here. Pretty simple, right? Simple job. Have any of you ever went out and worked in the sun all day long? Been out in the sun all day long and said, I'm going to take a break for a minute. You sit down. What happens? Begin to get drowsy because of the heat, what it works on the body. Okay, any of you ever tried to stay up all night? In the lateness of the night, you begin to get drowsy when everyone else is sleeping comfortably in your beds. Well, yeah, this job seems simple until you get on it, until you begin to serve in that position. These men had to sit on the walls in the heat of the day, in the lateness of the evening, when everyone else is resting and cooling off. So the watchman could either be the savior of the city or he could be the failure of the city. The people of the city had to be certain of the man. Would you, if you were part of the city and you were going to get someone and set him upon the walls to protect you, to call out when the enemy comes to attack, would you be quick to choose someone, just anyone? Or would you want someone you knew who was going to do his job, who was going to stay awake, who was going to keep watch? Not only did the city have to choose men wisely, but this man had to be diligent in himself. Because if he had failed, he would be held accountable for the lives of these people. Have any of you ever said and thought about the day that you stand before God and what He might say to you about your life? Well, what about the lives of those that God puts in your life for you to care, for you to teach, for you to nurture, and for you to raise? If you don't want to have to answer for your own guilt, for your own sins, for your own transgressions, do you really want to try to have to answer for someone else's? You see, this is what this man had to do. He had to not only protect his life, but he had to protect the lives of others. You see, all throughout Scripture, God gives us earthly illustrations to teach us spiritual significances, our spiritual truths. And this is what God is doing. He's giving Ezekiel an illustration to teach him a spiritual truth. As we read this passage just a few moments ago, you thought, yeah, well, that's pretty cut and dry. You know, it's simple. But when you begin to look and you begin to look at what he's actually saying, it should weigh upon our shoulders in understanding what has been given to us, what has been given to you. Ezekiel's call was to be a watchman over a nation. Not just a house, not just a family, but a nation, to speak out against the idolatry of the nation, to speak out against the rejection of their God, of what they had been taught. So he received this call of a watchman, but his call was to call others to repentance when he saw them going astray, when God spoke to his heart. You see, verse 10, God tells Ezekiel to go and to remind Israel. All right, look at it, verse 10, if you have your Bibles open. He says, "Now, as for you, son of man, say to the house of Israel, you have said this." So this is something that the house of Israel has said. Our transgressions and our sins are heavy on us, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we survive? You see, Israel had recognized their sin, or this wouldn't have been brought out. But there's something that's still wrong because God is addressing them. Something's still wrong, even though they recognize their sin. You see, we're not called to recognize our sin. We need to recognize our sin, but we're called to repent of our sins, to turn away from our sins. This was the message of Ezekiel to the house of Israel. Don't just recognize that you're doing wrong. Don't just recognize that you're living a lifestyle that you shouldn't be in. Don't just recognize that you're toying with stuff that's gonna destroy your life. He says, repent of that. Turn away from that. Recognition does nothing. It just makes you aware of it, and it makes you aware of your destination. But repentance changes that. Repentance is what is when you turn away from that and you begin to head in another direction. You see, at the end of verse 10 is that important question that is asked: how then can we survive? We feel the sin. We recognize the sin. We know what you see when you look at us. We feel the weight on us. And because of that, and we see your holiness and your righteousness, and because of that, how can we even survive? And this question, I think, spurred the heart of God to move, and it begins to show us what God's heart is, because God responds with the directions of life. He says, "Repent, because I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked." You see, a lot of the church and most of the world have this idea that we have a God who wants to destroy them. We have this God who wants to destroy the evil in the world. The evil people in the world. We have a God who wants to destroy sin, who wants to get rid of sin. But he says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You see, God's desire is not to condemn, but to save. Are any of you familiar with John chapter 3? Any of you familiar with John chapter 3, verse 16? Most of you are. How many of you are familiar enough to quote John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18? I was actually challenged a few weeks ago by a guy who moved in down the road from our church, who was actually from Indiana. I was sharing this with Pastor Jimmy the other day. He's from Seymour, Indiana. But I want you to see the heart of God for just a minute. We know what 16 says: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." But 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And 18 says, anyone who believes in him is not condemned, but anyone who does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only Son of God. You see, our sin has condemned us. And what God did is he brought us, a nurse come, I think it was a nurse down there talking to us earlier. He brought us the medicine that we needed. And that medicine was his son. You see, we were already condemned. The world is already condemned because of the sin that is in. And when God does judge the earth, when he does judge man, when all is over, what God is doing is he is judging sin. And the man that desires sin, who wants to remain there, then that man will be wiped away with the sin. Because God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Because we as mankind are his most valuable creation. There is no other creation that he has made that he made in the image and in his image and his likeness. That's why he takes so much value in you and I. You see, this is God's heart revealed to us. And if he is a God of mercy, shouldn't we be servants of mercy? Showing the same mercy that he has shown us? You see, this is what helps us roll over into verse 12. Where I see a call to live. A call for each of us to live, and he addresses everyone in these two. He says, now, son of man, say to your people, the righteousness of the righteous person will not save him on the day of his transgression. Neither will the wickedness of the wicked person cause him to stumble on the day that he turns from his wickedness. You see, you can read right through that and you can say, well, that's pretty cut and dry, and not really look at the depth of what he's saying and how dangerous it is for us to think of ourselves better than others, for us to think of ourselves because I don't look like them, I don't talk like them, I had a better education than them, because I had a better job than them, that I'm in somehow better than they are. You see, God gave us earthly illustrations to teach us spiritual truths. And when you take away all of that earthly stuff, we are all just alike. There is nothing that separates us. When you look at others and with just your pure earthly eyes and in a physical way, then you see the glories of earth. But if you begin to look at people in a spiritual way, you began to see woes upon their life because of the direction that they are headed in. You see, it's important to point out at the end of verse 12 that it is the man's righteousness that God is calling out. It is not God's righteousness that is being brought out, because he's speaking of those who were counting on their righteousness because of the way that they followed the law. Because of the way that they held to the sacrificial system. How many of us and how many of our family members and how many of our friends, we find our righteousness in our church attendance. We find our righteousness in our giving. We find our righteousness in our service. You see, we are a small little mission team from Mississippi coming up to Indiana to try to help out a little bit. And I'll tell you, the chances of all 38 of us having a truly pure heart and wanting to serve God and to help our brothers and sisters, being completely pure, it's very, very small. is very, very small. Because many of us find our righteousness in our church attendance. We find our righteousness in our service. We find our righteousness in our God-given voices. Because I'm going to tell you, we had some wonderful singing tonight. Wonderful voices. We find our righteousness in the preaching. We can find our righteousness in anything that we set up as an idol in our life. And this is what God was speaking against, finding righteousness in yourself. And God says that that righteousness will do you no good on the day that you stand before me, because we know that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So how does Ezekiel being a watchman apply to us today? How does it apply to your life? Since this was Old Testament, thousands of years ago, this was before Jesus even came. This is when God spoke to people by prophets and judges and kings. So what does it mean to our life? Because today, He has given us His Spirit to live within us, to indwell us. All believers are indwelled by the Spirit of God. And it is because of this that all believers have become ministers of reconciliation. All of us. If you have your Bible, and if you would like to, you can flip real quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 18 through 20 says this: Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to stop right there and I want to ask this question real quick. Who in here at one time was lost? Knew that you were going to hell because of the sin that was in your life, and knew that you deserved it. All right, now I want to ask this question. You don't have to raise your hand. How many of you have now been bought by the blood of Jesus? And you have been given a new life. You see, if you were to back up just one verse, it says, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation, and the old things have passed away. Look, new things have come. Then he begins to say, Now everything is from God, who reconciled us, who reconciled you in your lostness. You deserved none of it. You don't deserve life. You don't deserve God's mercy. You don't deserve God's grace. But it's out of His goodness that He looks upon you in His love, and He sheds that grace to you through Jesus Christ. And it is through Jesus Christ that we have been reconciled to Him. And in verse 18 he says, Now everything, skip down one more, that we have been given the, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. 19, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed the message of reconciliation to who? It says to us. He has committed this message, this gospel, this ministry of reconciliation, He's given it to us to share with them, to call out to them, be reconciled to God. Repent, turn from your sins, turn away from that. We have become the new generation of watchmen. Now I want you to think about this. I know we're up from Mississippi and we're helping and doing whatever we can to help the ministry here and to help you reach your community. You are the watchman of this community. I'm not. They're not. This is your community and you are the watchman. You are called to this community. And everything that he just told Ezekiel This falls upon your shoulders. And if you'll excuse me just a minute, I'm going to speak to those who came with us. This is not your community. You came here to serve. You came here to share the gospel. You came here to prayer walk. You came here to share the message with others. But what are you doing in Mathiston? What are you doing at home? You are the watchman there. Is the city going to be attacked and destroyed on your watch? And then I follow that back to you, New Life. Is the city going to be destroyed on your watch? Or will you call out at the enemy attack? You see, in Ezekiel 33:11, it told us God's heart. It told us that it is His desire that man repent from his sins. He does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And if we don't call out, and I'm going to use Ezekiel's terminology here, since you are the watchman of this generation and of this city, and if you don't call out, then using Ezekiel's terminology, then I have to tell you that their blood will be on your hands. Because we've become comfortable in our pews, nice air conditioner. Are you calling out? Are you being the watchman that you've been called to? So therefore, we must not live in our own righteousness. You can't depend on your own goodness, on what you know, on your voices. And we've heard some good voices, and I'm sure I've heard Pastor Jimmy preach or on great preaching. But you have to depend upon the blood of Jesus. You see, it is in Acts chapter 1 that we find it is through that that we receive, through His Spirit, that we receive power to be His witnesses. That is why the Spirit was given to each of us, so that we could be empowered to be the watchmen, to be able to call out. And I'm going to end it simply just like this. Will you be the watchman that this generation needs? Will you be the watchman to Huntington, right around New Life? Victory, Clarkson, will you be the watchman around Mathiston? Or will you let your city fall? And the last thing I have is this. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't have that life that He gives and His Spirit who indwells you, He calls out to you, repent, turn to Him, and receive that abundant life that He offers you. Will you be reconciled to God? Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You for the promises that we have through Your Word. I thank You for Your Holy Spirit who works within the heart of man to show us our sin, to reveal our sin to us. I thank You that for Your Holy Spirit who reveals the truth to us. And Father, I thank You for the work of the Holy Spirit in drawing us to You. Because we cannot come to You on our own. But Father, when we begin to see that sin and it is revealed to us, we know that it is the Holy Spirit working on our life. And Father, if there's anyone here tonight who they feel the Holy Spirit tugging at their heart, I pray, Father, that they would not wait, that they would not continue to run from You, but Father, that they would take this day and understand that it is this day is a day of salvation. And Father, I pray over all of those who do know You. And I ask You, God, that You would give them the strength, the inspiration, the wisdom that they need to be the watchmen of their cities. And it's in Your Son Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.